except in church, right? We don't want them loitering. But here we want them. So if there's any youth here, you're in good company today. There's some older youth here sitting beside you, but that's all right. We'll all loosen up in just a second. And we're going to have some fun. Is that okay if we have fun in church? Somebody raise their hand if it's okay. All right. I only need permission from one. So we're going to do that. So a little bit about myself. As Pastor Charlie, I had mentioned, we just became instant friends. You ever meet those people you just enjoy being around? Just enjoy being around these guys. And unfortunately, distance, you know, sometimes causes interruptions in our relationships, but there's always sometimes a connection. I've got six older brothers. I was raised in South Dakota, in the upper north central South Dakota, a little town called Ipswich, South Dakota. Anyone from there? Nope, because I knew everybody there, so I know no one was from there. So anyway, we did move to Texas, and then now we're after about 8 years. This is my daughter, by the way. Her name is Anna. She's a sophomore in college. So she's coming with me. She's flying back just so she can turn around and fly back. As Pastor Charlie mentioned, my father-in-law did go to be with the Lord yesterday morning. Today's Sunday, so it was yesterday morning. And my wife is with family, but she says hi. She's amazing. She's my joke writer. I steal all her materials, and then I deliver it, and she never gets credit. But I'm going to give her credit today. But anyway, so that's where we are. Where I am in life right now, I do a lot of different things, but one of the things I'm endeavoring to do, the Lord is releasing me to go and do more speaking on a regular basis in 2019. So I have cards here. If anyone would like to have one of those and follow me on Facebook and whatever else I'm on, and go to my website and different things like that. I speak in different venues. I've done some customer service training, sales training, a little bit of things in the business world, but I'm most comfortable in the house of the Lord. So men's retreats and churches, youth gatherings, all that stuff. So anyway, I have been enjoying the Stand Firm, Love Well series. And I'm so thankful for your technical team that actually puts them on your website and shares them on Facebook so I can get to receive from your pastor. I mean, you guys got great pastors. Did you know that? Why don't you go ahead and give it up for your pastors? Did you enjoy the worship this morning? Let me tell you something. I go to a pretty expressive in worship church. You guys crushed it. If I could take you home with me, I would love it. They're anointed and they're talented. There's the talented musician, then you're also anointed. And I was trying to contain myself. I was ready to just start dancing. But anyway, so that brings me to today. And I pray that you'll be encouraged, uplifted, and stirred. I believe that as I was just conversing with Pastor Charlie earlier prior to coming out here, I believe you guys are in an instrumental place right now in the season of your church. And I was excited as the Lord was speaking to me this morning in the front here. I believe that there's extreme growth out there for you, but it's going to take you, starting with at the movies, going out and reaching out to people. So I'm in the frying pan twice. I ate there twice already since I've been here. It's on 41st Street near the hospice house where my father-in-law was at. I met a lady named Karen. I don't see her here today. She's not here. All right. Are you Karen? No, you're not Karen. Okay. Anyway, her name's Karen, and I invited her. And, you know, there's people out there, even in Sioux Falls, who are hurting. She hadn't been in church in a while. But she was seriously considering it. And I pray and believe it's only 7 blocks from her house, this church. 7 blocks. Did you know that there's a hurting person 7 blocks from this church that you might run into? And all it takes is just asking at the movies. That's your opportunity. I'm here to stir you today, maybe light a fire a little bit, help you to stand firm and love well. So I'm going to go ahead and begin with a word of prayer. Is that all right? All right. Father God, I just thank you so much for this day. I ask you just to continue to be with us. Help us, Lord, to Never lose the fire of God in our hearts and the love that you've shown us. Help us to always be sensitive to others who are around us. Give us a heart and compassion for the lost and the hurting. Help us to reach out and love people like you love them. And we give you honor and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
So stand firm and love well. That's where we are today. And I'm going to begin today. I'm going to ask you three questions. And if you're a note taker, you'll like this because I'm going to kind of go in order. You'll be able to write down things. But I'm going to start with question number one. Are you ready? Here it is. Where are your thoughts taking you? Where are your thoughts taking you? Is that the clock back there? Nice. Love it. I got more time than I usually get. Anyway. Where are your thoughts taking you? So there I was, trapped. I was screaming. Let me out of here. Let me out of here. I'm going to tell Mom. My prison? It was an LTD station wagon with the green and the wood panel siding and stuff. My brother's standing outside. And I'll get back to that story in a second. But I'm reminded of a statement made by Craig Groeschel, if you've ever heard of him. He said this. He said, your life is moving in the directions of your strongest thoughts. That'd be something good to write down. Your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Are you excited about where your thoughts are taking you? Wow. So there's this man, and he's concerned about his wife, and he begins to think and process in his mind because he knows, he's just convinced that she's losing her hearing. So he says, I've got to help her. I've got to test this out. So he stands a distance behind her, and he says, honey, can you hear me? He hears no response. He's thinking, maybe she needs hearing aids. I'll get a little closer. We'll test it again. He says, honey, can you hear me? Again, the man hears no response. I'm going to have to learn sign language. I don't know. I'm my wife. I mean, she's going deaf. So he says, I'm going to get even a little closer. He gets right up near the back of her head and says, honey, can you hear me? She turns and says, for the third time, yes, I can hear you. So sometimes we think it's the other person. Today, I don't want you to listen for the other person. I want you to listen for you, for yourself. I remember sitting in that church that we were a part of, sitting on the stage, and I was there, and I said, God, I want to change the world. I want to change the world. I want to change the world. I'm a children's minister in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I want to change the world. He said this. He said, do you want to change the world? Yes. He said, change yourself. Excuse me? Lord, I said I want to change the world. And he said, change yourself. Listen for you today. So here we are, back in the car. And this is how I got there. Some of you may not remember, but several years ago, they came out with these things called power locks. Yeah. Well, as I crawled from the far back of this station wagon where it had the pop-up seats in the back, and I climbed over the seats. My brothers, who were driving to my grandma's house, get out of the car. They lock it, slam the doors, and they start laughing. You're locked inside. You're locked inside. Let me out of here. My parents had already walked in. You know, keep in mind, some of you are ahead of it. All right, you're ahead of it. You're like, been around electric locks. We hadn't. This was a new station wagon for us. I didn't know, and I trusted my brothers, and I'm like, come on, you know, let me out. And I'm screaming. They walk inside. I'm sitting alone in a car, locked, with no apparent way out, screaming. Finally, my mom came out and rescued me, scolded the brothers. It was kind of comical. She's like, boys, get out here. You let him out of there, she says. You let him out of there. They're laughing. They're like, Mom, all he's got to do is pull up on the little knob. You know, it wasn't even those sleek little unlock things. It was the one with the big knobs on the top. that the coat hangers can get around easy. All I had to do is that or open the door. No, but I didn't do it. Huh. Your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Romans 12, verse 2 says this. I'm going to read it in there. Look at that. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. I'm going to read it from the screen. It says this. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Some of you may remember it this way, if we can have that other version. It says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do you know that the world has an agenda and that there's a culture in this world that we are not necessarily called to follow, but we're called to influence? We're listening for us today. You're listening for you today, and you're called to affect culture. Right? I mean, we heard it here the last couple of Sundays about culture and reflecting culture or changing it. Or I can maybe say it this way. You're either being affected by culture or you're affecting the culture. But we're called to be salt and light. So the first question is, where are your thoughts taking you? Mine are taking me to 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians verse 10. Verses 3 through 4, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Strongholds. Oh, you got it back there too. That's so awesome. I got a keen eye for the obvious. All right, strongholds. That word strongholds there is akamore. And what it means is a prisoner locked by deception. I was in the car and I had the power to get out, but because of my thinking or the lack of the correct knowledge, I couldn't get out. I couldn't get out. Some of us are trapped in the mindsets of the world that keep us there in a stronghold. I'll never have enough. I'll always be sick. That's just the way it is in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. What are you going to do? Yeah, what are you going to do, young people? Everybody's doing it. Well, what does the Word of God say? I was sitting in a truck one day with a friend of mine in Texas, and he turns to me after listening to me spew and complain and complain. He said, can I ask you a question? I go, what? He goes, do you want to be broke? I said, no, I don't want to be broke. What do you mean? I don't want to be broke. He said, for the last 5 minutes, all I've heard you talk about is how you can't do this and can't afford this. And can't. He goes, do we serve a almighty God or not? Right. Come on. It's okay if you say, hey, man, it's all right. I won't lose my place. But anyway, I'm all right. So this mindset, this prisoner of deception keeps us trapped. But what can break that? I'm glad you asked. What will set us free? People often misquote or only quote part of this verse. We're going to go to John 8, if that's all right. John 8. And it says in verse 31, 32, it says, then the disciples said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A lot of people say, well, truth make you free. Truth make you free, brother. Well, how come there aren't more people free in their finances? How come there aren't more people free in the way they walk in health? How come there aren't more people free from anger, free from the lack of forgiveness for others and for themselves? How come there aren't more people free? We have Google. We have all this information all around us, right? Why aren't there more people free? Why aren't we experiencing the freedom that we sang about earlier? Why is that? Maybe it's because we don't know the truth in that area. Maybe we're locked as the prisoner of deception in the truth and that mindset of the world that says, you're not going to make it. You can't do it. Start a business. What are you, crazy? You can't do it. You can't build a church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. You can't buy that land. You don't have enough money. You don't have the time, the talent, and the resources. You're right, you don't. But he's not asking you to do it by yourself. He says, if you who are in covenant with me, Church of the Harvest Church, almost slipped back into an old mindset. Harvest Church, if you are in covenant with me, think 3D, guess what? This is the deal. I'm giving you access to all of my resources. I'm with you. We sang earlier, God is for us. He's with us. Amen? Oh my goodness, this is really good. So we're going to shake up some mindsets today, and another scripture that it leads me to is one we read earlier about not being conformed to the pattern of this world in Romans 12:2. And I'd encourage you, don't allow yourself to just, even in religious traditions, even when somebody goes over a scripture or a pastor gets up to preach a message, we're going to talk about this story or this parable in the Bible, and you immediately, sometimes we check out and go, I've already heard this. I know everything there is to know about the story of the prodigal son. And we check out, you know. Let's not do that. Let's keep engaged, okay? Let's keep engaged and keep growing and not conforming to the pattern of this world and the culture in this world. Let's stand firm in our faith and know the truth. And the last one before I move on to question two is a scripture I'd love to share with you. And finally, brothers, in Philippians 4:8, it says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think on such things. Your life is moving in the directions of your strongest thoughts. Have you thought about what you've been thinking about lately? I pray you listen for you today and you're encouraged. As leaders, if there are any leaders here, dream team people, have you thought about how you've been thinking about your ministries lately? Have they become ministries that are just for us here? Or are you thinking outside to the others who need to know and come in and experience it? I've eaten at some really good restaurants. I talk about food a lot. I like food. I really do. And one of the things I've learned is when you find a restaurant you enjoy, you tell other people about it. How come is it that we have the mindset that, well, that's your faith, it's personal, you should just keep it to yourself? The world says that. My Bible says, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart so that you can share that love with other people. How selfish are we sometimes to not just be obedient, and we're going to get to that in just a second, and say, hey, do you ever have Sundays off? Conversation I just had. Oh, I have every Sunday off. Really? Great. I'm going to be speaking at a church. It's a great church. It's called Harvest Church. I think I've heard of that. So it's over there somewhere on Bonson. And, you know, and she's like, yeah, I think I've heard of that. And then she says, you know, I haven't been to church in a long time. And I'd venture to guess that maybe she's just waiting for someone to ask her. Because maybe she's been sold a bill of lies from the world that says that you probably won't be welcome there. You'll be judged there. No one will really get in the trenches with you and disciple you and help you out of your addictions or help you out of whatever situation that you're in. Her name is Karen. She works at Frying Pan. I'm calling her out. I'm still praying for her. I'm believing for her salvation. And I'm asking for your help. Go there. I left her a big tip, too. Second question. What is the foundation of your life? What is the foundation of your life? In John 1, verses 1 through 14, there's no way I'm reading on the back screen. Let me go here. John chapter 1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. How many of you know that when you're talking about the Word there, the Word was with God, the Word was God, that's Jesus, right? So Jesus is the Word. He became flesh. All right. He's nothing was made without him. It says nothing was made that that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We win. The world does not. It says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only to as a witness of the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came, it says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Of course, talking about the Israel nation and the Jews who were steeped in their mindsets of thinking and religious law, and they couldn't possibly fathom how just simple faith in him could throw away a whole list of traditions that they had come up with. They didn't receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decisions, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The question is, what is the foundation of your life? We talked earlier about it's the truth that you know will set you free. Well, the foundation of our life is important. When I lived in Texas, they were constantly doing foundation repair because the foundations would shift. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid that the church in America has gotten its footing on a shifting foundation as we've strayed away from the Word of God and what the Word says, and we've got off onto, well, that's maybe what it meant back then. But, you know, the Word is evolving. God is evolving. He's changing. Yes, he's still speaking today, but he's changing. He understands that it's just the way I am. He understands that, you know, this is the way society, this is what a society accepts right now. Here's what I understand about the Word of God that says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. My Word never changes. In fact, his Word will remain the same forever and ever. I don't care what church or denomination you're in, there's one common thread that unites every Christian denomination and church, and that's the Word of God. And if we just stay focused on things that unite us, which is the Word of God, there'll be fewer things dividing us, and we won't have to have 87 denominations in one town to reach however many people, and we'll quit being ineffective. But we'll say, guess what? What does the Word of God say? I didn't come to you to deliver anything other than his word today, because that's all I have. When I was ministering to my father-in-law, who is a great man of God, who was founded in the word, he prayed every day. He's encouraged. He's having a hard time breathing. Pulmonary fibrosis is starting to affect his lungs. He's hardly able to speak. But one of the things that he was able to speak more clearly than anything else while he's lying on his deathbed was the Word of God, and it encouraged him. And we would go back and forth, and I said, Jesse, I really don't have anything other to give you than God's Word. And he said, there's work to be done. There's work to be done. I'm going to get to that story in just a minute, but the bottom line is this. Amen? Amen. Amen. Why don't you just go ahead and slap a high five to your neighbor and say, listen. All right. Turn to somebody else and say, this next part's for you. All right, there you go. We're loosening it up just a little bit now. All right. So the foundation of your life needs to be the Word of God, because we read here that he's the life, he's the light. Right? We've got nothing for this world without the Word of God, without Jesus Christ. No amount of talent that you possess is worth a hill of beans unless you have the power of his Word working on the inside of you to change people, because that's what changes people. It's his word. And our foundation, our hope, our faith, the Spirit of God, it's all based on the word. You know, the Holy Spirit came. And I go to a church that believes in the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and things like that. And it's in the word. And he came to do several things, but one primary thing he came to do is to point people back to the Word. I'll lead you and guide you into all truth. Anybody here use GPS? I was using it on the way here today. It's not foolproof. It doesn't know that there's a stretch of Highway 18 that's under construction right now. So I would have been here a few minutes earlier. I had to call back to the farm and say, hey, listen, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. It says road closed. I can't go down this path anymore. It's the path I normally took. In our mindsets, we go down these paths that we normally take. We got to change our thinking, renew our minds. In Arizona, there's lots of trails, and some of the trails are single-track trails, meaning that they're kind of just for one person. They have a little bit of grass that goes over them, and there's just a single person goes down. Not as many people go that way, but there's beautiful scenery on those. There's other trails that are wide, have the millings on them, and you can get maybe even a car down them. They're so big. Lots of people going down those tracks. We got to renew our mind with the Word of God, and this is how it works. You're used to coming home, and when your kids do something, you're used to responding in anger because the toys are left out again. And what do? They're left out again, you respond in anger. But God's Word says that He's given us the fruit of the Spirit, patience. And if we renew our mind with the Word of God, maybe we'll just take that half a second and go, wait a minute, I'm not going to go down that path today. I'm not going to respond in anger. I'm not going to bite at my wife. I'm not going to say that same thing that I always say to trip or trigger. You know how you can push your buttons of your spouse, right? Yep. Y'all know that. Sometimes they are saying that on purpose, and they're acting like, oh, I didn't really mean to do that. Husbands, you know what you're doing, and she's figured it out. You can't fool her. She already knows. Yeah, take a different path. Let's sneak up on her. So, He leads us and guides us in all truth. And God is the Word, and His Word will remain forever. If you want some scriptures, I'm just going to read them. You don't have to put them up there. First Peter 1:25. Note takers, go ahead and write it down. Matthew 24:35. Isaiah 40:8. Basically, I'll say the same thing. His Word will remain forever. It's a foundation that won't shift. It won't change. And if you allow that foundation to be the foundation of your life, then you'll stand firm and you'll love well. Third question. We're moving on to that now. And that's this. As we talk about standing firm and loving well, what does loving well look like? I'm a visual person. I'm an audio and visual learner. So a lot of times most of my questions are, what does it look like? Someone will come to me and say, hey, I want to do this ministry or that ministry. Well, what does that look like to you? What does that look like? I just want to be successful. Okay. What does that look like to you? Be a little more specific. I'm not going to tell that joke, but it's really funny. I'll tell you later about being specific. You can ask me later. Come up to me afterwards, please. It's kind of a funny joke, but I'm not going to tell it right now because the Lord won't let me. So it's not appropriate for the time. So what does loving well look like? In 1 John chapter 4, it says this. Basically, the part I want to get is whoever does not know God, because God is love. God is love. He sent His Son. That's the gist of what I wanted to get out of that scripture, is that God is love. He's love. What does love look like? Young people struggle sometimes with the relationship. He loves me. Really? Does He love you? Does she love you? We use that word so flippantly in America. I love biscuits and gravy. I really do. But do I really love them, or do I just like them? Prefer them. Do I love them as much as I love my daughter and my family? Of course not. But sometimes we don't know what else to say. But what does God say love is? What does it look like? Are you ready to go a little deeper and listen for you today? Because we all have room for improvement, right? Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, you have room for improvement. All right. This is almost like free marriage counseling. You're welcome. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. We're going to apply the love test today. Are you ready? Amen. What does love look like? This is what it looks like. If I speak, and we're going to get to the love test part. Don't start taking it yet. This is like the stuff you read beforehand. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, then I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. A lot of our churches spend a lot of time doing those things, focusing on those gifts and different things like that. And sometimes they forget the love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. I cannot get the VBS song out of my head. I'm trying to read this instead of sing it, and it's not going so well. All right. It always protects. Come on. That's your part. Ready? It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. Always perseveres. Love is patient. Love is kind. That's what goes on in my head. I'm just giving you a sneak peek. That's what happens. That's why I'm like trying to read it going, I got to sing it. He has put a song in my heart. But love is patient, love is kind, and God is love. You remember? You wrote it down earlier. God is love. I showed you in the Word of God. Love is patient, love is kind. God is patient, God is kind. This is what God's like. He always protects. He always trusts. He always hopes. Keeps no record of wrongs. Now, here's the love test. You ready? This is where I put my name in there so you're more comfortable. If I want to check how well I'm loving, if I'm loving well, Jared is patient. Can we just stop right here? Because if I was grading myself on a scale from 1 to 10, I'm in the negative sometimes in this area. You put your name there, it'll feel the same way, I promise. Jared is patient, Jared is kind. Jared does not envy, he does not boast, he's not proud. You kind of get the picture, right? How are we going to love well in Sioux Falls, South Dakota? We need to stand firm on the Word of God. We need to renew our minds with His Word, have a firm foundation so we're not blown around. And then we need to listen to Him. Because He'll tell us to love in a special way. And I'm wrapping up with this story. I'm driving home. I was working in a place called Chino Valley, Arizona, which is about 30 miles away from where I lived. No, it was probably 25. It was a Saturday. I was working every Saturday at this time. And I'm driving home because I want to go home. I want to eat. I'm tired, hungry. You're driving. And I see this guy on the side of the road. He's got a sign. He's by a gas station. He's holding a sign. And I hear the Lord's voice saying, need to help that guy. Need to help him. And I'm driving. And as I'm passing him, got through that. That would be inconvenient. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Loving well is seldom convenient. And I'm continuing to drive, and the Lord says, you need to help that man. Lord, I'm on a divided highway. I can't stop here. I can't go backwards. It's the wrong direction on a divided highway. And he says, you need to help him. There's a turnabout coming up here, or a circle drive. Or we call them turnabouts. But anyway, there's a turnabout up here. I'm like, okay. But God, what if he's an axe murderer? Why? Why do axe murderers get all the, you know, what, have you ever seen an axe murderer on the side of the road? He was holding a sign, not an axe. And I'm like, anyway, what, you know, he's like, no, he's not. Okay, so I'm driving and I start making this deal with God. If he's there when I get back, I'll help him. And he was there. Long story, a little bit shorter. I pull up beside him and say, what do you need? He's an older gentleman. He's in his 60s. Found out later his name's Bobby. I need a ride to the mission homeless shelter down in Prescott. Do you know where that is? I said, no. Do you know where the square is, downtown Prescott? Yes, yeah, I know where that is. Can you give me a ride? Sure, jump in. So I jump in. We're driving there. And as we're driving, he's telling me about how he just got kicked out of his cousin's house because he was living with him at the time. And his cousin was a practicing homosexual, and he kind of voiced his opinion on that. And he kicked him out of the house. And he started walking about 15 miles, ended up in Chino Valley. He's there, and he's kind of like, I don't know what to do. I've burnt all the bridges with my family. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. And he's just going on sharing. And he gets to the point where he's just broken down. I have to stop him, and I have to tell him what the Lord is telling me to say to him. I said, Bobby, I got to stop you here. I got to tell you why I picked you up. I picked you up because the Lord asked me to pick you up. And then he began to break down. He said, I love Jesus. And he's going on to tell me about how bad he was and the lies just kept coming out of his mouth about how he wasn't good enough. He wasn't able to come back. He was trapped in a prison of deception. He had a stronghold in his life. And so I just keep driving and I keep sharing with him, and we get to the place where there's a Taco Bell. And I said, are you hungry? The guy hadn't eaten for a while. Top it off, he had a heart attack a few weeks earlier, and he's recovering from that. And he goes, yeah, I'm hungry. So I pull up to the drive-thru, and I said, can I have a 12-pack of tacos, please? Yes. And he taps me on the shoulder. He says, soft shell. He goes, I don't have any teeth. I hadn't noticed. I know, oh, I said that to you, oh. So I got soft shells. And he's sitting there, and he's eating his taco. And he goes, I'm parked now. He says this to me. He says, I feel better now. I'm not crying anymore. I feel like I got hope. Y'all, I thought I was just a 20-minute inconvenience. I thought I was just giving someone a ride. I thought I was just buying some tacos. But I was actually delivering hope. Because I just took time to listen to God when he told me what he's telling me. I pray that as you come here and hear a wonderful word from the Lord each and every Sunday, that it doesn't cause you to just get knowledge, but it stirs you to action. Because there's people out there like Bobby. There's people out there like Karen. There's people who God wants you to, even if you don't know them, hand that invitation to them. At the movies. I promise you, if I hear from Pastor Charlie that these seats were empty, I'm going to be mad, but God will be disappointed because there's a blessing. See, when I gave him those tacos and that ride, the Lord filled my heart with so much joy that as he got out of my car, I began to weep because of the goodness of God in my life. Do we know how good we got it sometimes? One of the last things my father-in-law said to me, and I'm closing, so listen close. He said this, gather around all the people. He gathered everybody around, the family was around him, and he said this. He said, take care of Vivian, that's his wife. And he said, stick together. Love each other. And he was convinced he had more work to do. See, at his ministry was a hugging ministry. Tall man, 85 years old, white hair. He'd been hugging people his whole life. At the church that he served in, here in this town, he was known as the hugger. He said, who's going to do it? If I don't do it, I got work to do. Who's going to tell people about Jesus? Who's going to do it? My question for you is this. Who's going to do it? Are you going to do it? Are you going to hear more than just a message about standing firm and loving well? Are you going to do it? If you just indulge me and close your eyes, I believe God wants to speak to you today. Father God, I just come before you and I pray that if there's anyone here within the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, I pray they'll hear the call of God in their heart and they'll respond to know that there is a love that surpasses all understanding. There's a love that reached out to them many years ago. His name is Jesus. He died on a cross for you, for your sins, to forgive you of your sins. And he wants you to know he loves you and he welcomes you into his family. And what you need to do is respond to that love. I'm asking you now, if you've never asked Jesus to be the boss of your life, with every eye closed, every head bowed, I just would invite you to get to know him. Just simply, by a show of your hand, say, that's me. I've never asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I've never really asked for forgiveness. I've thought about it. I know he'll forgive me, but I've never asked him. But I want to. I want to know for sure that I'm going to live with him forever in eternity, that I'm forgiven. I want that for me. I want that peace. I want that love. If that's you and you've never asked Jesus to be the boss of your life, I want you to raise your hand just where you are, no one looking around. There's some other people in here that maybe you've known Jesus for a while, but you've kind of ignored him a little bit. Maybe you've kept driving when he said to stop. And he's pulling on your heart right now, saying, hey, you need to stop what you're doing wrong and start obeying me because I love you, I care for you, and I want to give you the hope that you deserve. That's you. You've kind of wandered away. You say, you know, I'm not where I'm at with the Lord like I once was, and I want to get back. The good news is the prodigal son is not just a story in the Bible. It's something that can be lived out on a regular basis as we extend the love of God to other people. And I'm here to tell you this. He's waiting for you. The Father is waiting for you with open arms right now. If that's you and say, you know what? I've been messing up. I need to change my thinking. I need to get back on the Word of God. I need to love people like I once did. I need you, God, to forgive me and help course correct me right now. I want to do a turnabout right now. If that's you and you want prayer for that, just raise your hand and say, that's me. I've been kind of, thank you so much. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Lord, we just come before you and we thank you for your forgiveness and your love. We thank you for this house called Harvest Church. I pray for each and every one of the leaders that are here and those that will be able to come alongside people and minister to them, love them, and reach out to them. No matter if they're on the side of the road, holding on to a sign or waiting tables at a restaurant. When you speak, we'll listen and we will love well. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand?